Let's get to our NFL report brought to you by Pro Am Sports, your best choice for signed and unsigned licensed NFL memorabilia. Check out all their great products at proamsports.ca. From the Talk of Fame and Network, good friend of the show, Clark Judge, joins us once again. Clark, welcome back. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
Oof, hey, I'm great. Is the sun out where you're at?
Sun is not out. No, neither the guns.
The guns weren't out last night, but the Jacksonville Jaguars suddenly, depending on what happens this weekend, could be tied for first in what looks to be maybe the weakest division in football. But are they potentially the team that has the best long-term future?
No, they're not.
Okay.
That just shows you how weak that division is, that they're even in contention. I still think Indianapolis is going to be the team to beat simply because they have more talent than anyone else. They've got the best quarterback in that division when he's healthy. But in the meantime, they've got the only backup who's undefeated, other than Ben Roethlisberger as that backup. But, Matt Hasselbeck's playing well. I think that team, it's got a nice balance when it's right, and it looked like it was right against Denver the last time it played, and that was with a injured Andrew Luck. But I still think Indianapolis is a team to beat. I just find it so hard to believe that we're talking about Jacksonville in this vein, but that's how bad that division is. It clearly is the weakest division in football.
Clark, it's an interesting weekend. The Colts are a team that I think it's safe to say have underachieved this season against an Atlanta team that overachieved earlier at 5-0 and had people thinking, hey, maybe they're legit. They're 6-3. You know, they're still right in it for the, they hold down the second wild card spot with the Green Bay Packers. What do you make of the Falcons, and is this a game they should win because they're at home?
Well, they should win, but this is a descending team, guys. They need to do something quickly to stop the bleeding, because you look at their last four games, they lost three of them. The only game they beat or won was Tennessee. That was Zach Mettenberger was playing, 10-7. They won that game, 10-7, and Mettenberger, I think, threw three interceptions, something like that. He was awful. They weren't very good. Falcons haven't been good for a month. They're out of sorts. I think it's a descending team. I worry about them, whereas at one time I thought, honestly, they would win that division. But they're going to be lucky to get a playoff spot. It's a big game for them. Should they win it? Sure they should. They're playing against Matt Hasselbeck, 40-year-old backup. But like I said, he's playing pretty well. The Colts really need this win, too. This will give you a little bit of a measure of each one of these ball clubs. As I said, Indianapolis, that last game, looked really good, so the arrow is ticking up. The Atlanta Falcons last game didn't look very good. The arrow is ticking down. They need to stop that.
We're joined by Clark Judge, talking week 11 in the NFL. Clark, should Bronco fans be excited about the beginning of the Brock Osweiler era?
I think you should ask me after Sunday. I would not be. From what I've seen, I don't think you can win with Brock Osweiler, and I don't know that they think they can win either. It's certainly an opportunity for him, and I've heard people say, well, why couldn't they win with him? Because we got, a running game, we have a defense, and we did okay with Manning when he was a subpar performance. Maybe this can be better. Well, I would hope it'd be better, but you don't have a running game. Your offensive line's not very good. It's been better lately protecting Manning. But the defense, to me, is they've relied so much on them this year, not only to stop opponents, but to score and to put points up on the board. And they've done a great job. But now we've kind of understood what happens when the offense goes 3-and-out and the defense is on the field most of the time. They break. And it's not just breaking in terms of allowing opponents to go up and down the field and score, it's their poise. I mean, 2 weeks ago, Aqib Talib, he gets suspended for poking a guy in the eye. Last week, T.J. Ward decides he'll take a swing at somebody as the Chiefs across the goal line. They've lost their poise. They've lost a lot of things down the stretch here. And with Manning, I know we'll probably see him again, but I'm afraid of what we're going to see, honestly, guys. And your listeners may say, well, that's, it was one game. It wasn't one game. You look at his last 14 games, 23 interceptions, 13 touchdowns. He's just not the same quarterback. And it happens. He's 39 years old. Injuries happen to old quarterbacks. It happened to him last year. It happened to him, too, this year. I think we'll probably see him again. And my question, of course, is if he goes to them and says, listen, I want him back on the field, and they think, well, now we got a better chance with Brock Osweiler, who's going to tell Peyton Manning no?
That's a very good point. We're joined by Clark Judge from the Talk of Fame Network. The Green Bay Packers have lost three straight. Is there something wrong with the Packers? Is it just purely it's a long season and there's lots of ups and downs?
No, there's something very wrong with them. Their wide receivers can't get separation. Their quarterback's hurt. And their defense can't get to the quarterback. But the problems right now on offense, their passing game's all out of Their running game is non-existent right now, and now you see what's happened when wide receivers can't separate. Rodgers is looking for tight ends, and that's who's scoring the touchdown. Really a situation where I haven't seen it before with Green Bay. They're so out of that questions are being asked about the quarterback. Well, Aaron Rodgers is hurt. He's hurt because he's holding the ball because the wide receivers aren't separating, and he's waiting and waiting and waiting, and now he gets hit. And this to me is somewhat of a must-win situation for them. Yeah, I mean, if they lost at 6-4, are they out of it? No, they're not. I mean, but they're certainly in deep doo-doo for that playoff spot with the top of that division. I think Minnesota will probably win the top of that division. And I look at that and think, how is that possible? The reason it's possible is because that passing game is just out of whack. They need to get it straightened out now. And how those guys separate in 1 week, I don't know. But it's not the same core of receivers we saw earlier this year. And a good example is James Jones. James Jones, his first 6 games, 6 touchdown passes. Last 3 games, he's got 3 catches, period. 3 catches, no TDs.
Clark Judge, Talk of Fame Network, joins us talking NFL. Clark, the Vikings are, you know, probably the second biggest surprise in the NFC behind the Panthers, who are 9-0. The Vikings have won 5. They've got the best running game, at least stats-wise, in the league. But their defense is also very, very good. You talk about Rodgers just taking a beating. You look at the Vikings, like, are they a legit team? Like, do we have to start looking at the Vikings and say, okay, you know, this is a team that can go somewhere, or do they still have some weaknesses that concern you?
Well, everyone's got holes, and they're not unlike anyone else, but they're a legitimate team, guys. They're going to make the playoffs. They can run. They can play defense. And Teddy Bridgewater can throw the ball. That's a balanced team. You don't find many of those out there. The thing I like, of course, most about these guys is the fact that they can play defense. You look at Carolina. You mentioned Carolina. They're undefeated. They can play defense. There are very few teams that are playing really good defensive ball. Minnesota's one of them. Carolina's even better there. But they're getting the takeaways. The Vikings certainly look like a team that's poised to go possibly deep in the playoffs. I worry about the quarterback a little bit. He's in his second year, a little bit inexperienced. Sometimes I wonder, you know, about some of the throws he makes. But that's going to happen with a second-year quarterback. You got Adrian Peterson, who's producing big yards again. Wide receivers, you might want a little more depth on a wide receiver. I don't know whatever happened to Cordero Patterson, but he certainly returned a touchdown off our kickoff last week. But he's disappeared from the depth chart at wide receiver. But defensively, they're making stops, and that's where Sunday's game with Green Bay is going to be decided. They may be the better defense that day, and they should be because they're home. They certainly got familiarity there, and Green Bay is a mess. But that's the difference between those two teams. Minnesota can dictate defensively and can run the ball. Green Bay can't.
Clark, the Carolina Panthers, we talk about receiving core. I don't know who they got as a receiving core, but they're 9-0. Like Greg Olsen, the tight end, obviously right. Is their lead guy. But in today's pass-happy NFL, can the Panthers go far without a legitimate wide receiver?
Yeah, they can because New England has been doing it for years. I mean, you know, it's funny. I laugh at this when you know, people talk about MVPs. Every year you might as well vote Tom Brady MVP, every year, because he's the best player out there, and he does more with less than anyone out there. I go back to 2006. He had doorknobs for wide receivers, a bunch of doorknobs. Yeah, he had a guy like Rashay Caldwell, Doug Gabriel. And they went to the conference championship game and came within a minute of going to the Super Bowl. You can do it. It's hard to do it, but you better have something else. They do have something else. They've got a running game. Jonathan Stewart, Cam Newton, those are good running backs. I know Cam Newton's a quarterback, but he's really, to me, a running back dressed as a quarterback. But those are guys that can run the ball. Then you look at defense. They get the takeaways. They make the key stops. You got Kuechly. You got Davis. You got a cornerback, Josh Norman, who's playing as well as anybody out there. They can dictate defensively, but they've done wonders to me with the passing game with what they've got. Because you're right, Greg Olsen is a top-end receiving tight end. It's a wonder to me the teams don't double him and say, go ahead and beat us with a wideout. Kotcher, is he going to beat us? I don't think so. But they're doing well because they're able to kind of spread the ball around. But Olsen's their go-to guy. Can they go deep? Yeah, they can because, as I said, unlike some of these other teams, they're very good defensively. And I mentioned, you know, Green Bay, it's very tough to get to the top if you don't have a decent defense. And you look at New England, New England's doing well defensively. I don't care where they rank in terms of total yards. I care where they rank in terms of points allowed. And Carolina's right there, guys. I mean, they're a good ball club.
And one last one, the game of the week, I would think anyway, is Cincinnati in Arizona, 8-1, yep. Bengals 7-2. Cardinals. The Bengals lose a game that no one expected them to lose on Monday Night Football, and a lot of the doubters will come out about Andy Dalton. Now, how important do you think this game is, just, you know, for the Bengals' credibility to bounce back after a subpar performance on Monday?
Yeah, I don't think they have to worry so much about that. Listen, they're going to win that division, and they don't care about what people say on the outside. Clearly, that game on Monday awakened the skeptics who said, hey, you know, this is what you're going to get in January. I've seen this too often. They lose to a team like Houston. They should beat Houston easily. They're not very good. They don't run the ball. They don't throw the ball. Their defense has been suspect, except lately looks pretty good. But you should beat them. You're at home. You should beat them, and they didn't. So now you go to Arizona. I expect the Bengals to lose here. I really do. I mean, I know they've had a great record on the road. They've been better than ever before on the road, and yet they go to a place where it's very tough to beat those guys. Carson Palmer's 11-2 there in his last 13 starts, and Arians, I think, is 16-4 at home. So very tough to beat these guys, and Arizona's rolling. Arizona's also a balanced team. What do they have? Oh, defense. They got defense. They can defend people. So I don't know it's that important for Cincinnati in terms of, you know, beating back the critics and the naysayers. They simply have to play much better than they did Monday night, because I saw that game Monday and it made me wonder, uh-oh, here's the B game that I've seen far too often in January. I thought we got through that with the Seattle win, with the win in Baltimore, with the win at Pittsburgh. Those weren't just middle-of-the-road wins. Those were signature victories where they came back in the fourth quarters and won, and that's why you believe in the Bengals. But you look at that game Monday, you go, this is why you don't believe them. I want to see them bounce back with a representative game that's more like the Bengals the most of the first half of the season, and you go, okay, now we're back on track. I do not expect them to win, but I expect them to be competitive.
Clark, always great to catch up with you. Appreciate your time. Have a fantastic weekend.
You guys got it. Thanks.